Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
Hey everyone, today I'm going to be talking about my journey with God so far. So, I'm Tara Bell and I'm 12 years old. I became a Christian when I was 6 years old, so that's pretty young. And I never really knew, because I was so young, how to take on my life living as a Christian. I didn't know how to follow God's plan and purpose for me. It was also hard for me to understand a lot of things that were in the Bible. I didn't know how to listen out for what God was trying to tell me, and I wasn't really that committed to follow what God has installed for my life. As I got older, a lot of challenges came my way, and I didn't fully understand how to handle them. And that's when I started to go downhill with my relationship with God. During these challenges, my life changed. I started doubting myself in lots of different ways. And I started losing hope and courage within myself. I got mad at myself quickly and my actions, and I started making some really bad decisions, which I really regret now. This had quite an impact on me, and last year was a big learning year for me, and that's how I take it. I felt that I had a lot more challenges than I ever really had before, so it was kind of hard to take. And after a lot of thinking, I realized I really needed to trust God and talk with God about this. After doing this, I felt a massive relief within myself. It's like it got rid of my head. And ever since that, I started reading my Bible every single day, morning and night, and I still do now. I was desperate to know more about God and desperate for help. It wasn't easy to overcome my challenges and to put them in God's hand, but I just had to trust Him. But I realized that Jesus already dealt with those hard situations on the cross, and I have nothing to worry about. So that's why I take last year as a learning year. This year has been the best year of my life so far. I've been able to come to youth, and that's really helped me. I've gone to experience God's presence, and my relationship with God has never been stronger before. Everything started turning out for my good. Then it came to the Encounter Night Friday Night Youth. I knew I didn't walk in those doors here at the church with the good intention of what was going to happen. But during praise and worship, I felt the presence of God overflowing within the youth. And while the music was playing, I had an opportunity of a lifetime, and it was to have the gift of speaking in tongues. When I heard that available opportunity, I had to take it because I knew that God was speaking to me, telling me to go and receive and accept that special gift. I knew what speaking in tongues were, but I had to find out what it actually felt like to have it happen to me. While I was getting prayed over and hearing others use their gift of speaking in tongues, I felt something which is impossible to describe because it's just so amazing and incredible. And right there and then I was speaking in tongues in an instant. The presence was so massive and I started just crying and it was like mad, and a lot of other people were because it's just so incredible. It was the most incredible feeling, and walking out of the church that night, I knew that my life has just changed. Ever since that night, I've changed back to myself. I've stopped self-doubting myself, and I have so much joy, happiness, and freedom in my life. So after all of that amazement, I decided to thank God tremendously a lot, and even though I've already accepted Christ into my life, I felt the need to do it again. So one day I sat down outside and just speaking in tongues and thanking God for what He's done to my life. I said a prayer in my normal English language also, and I'm just so happy that God put me through those times because I learned a lot from that, and I've gotten to realize how incredible God is, and every day I thank God for changing me back to myself and that I'm able to follow His directions for my life. Even if you have tough and terrible times like I had, God will always turn out for my good. Thank you.
Hi everybody, I'm Liam, in case you didn't know me. But yeah, so I'm going to talk about the Encounter Night. So it was a really great night, basically, for anyone who doesn't know it. It's basically for people who haven't encountered God yet to have that opportunity. And it was just such a great environment. It had praise and worship going on throughout the whole night. There was a communion section up there. There was like a beanbag section in the corner to just sit and read the Bible and write down notes. And then there was a little chalkboard thing to draw on. And so, yeah, but anyway, before all that, when I was, like, getting out of my car, mucking around with my friends, walking up the stairs, I was just thinking, ah, oh, what's it going to be like? I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Am I going to get anything out of it? But, yeah, I just didn't know my life was going to be changed. And so during praise and worship, I was just like, oh, yeah, we do this every time. What am I meant to do? And then there was like a little knock on my door. And I'm just like, yeah, who's there? And then on the other side, it's like, it's God. I want to change you tonight. And so I'm just standing there like, okay, what do I do? Like, just... But, yeah, and then there was like a little spark saying, hey, this is a good opportunity. Seize the moment. So I'm just like, all right. So I was just closing my eyes, focusing on him. And then I'm like, hey, let's give this a go. So I grabbed the doorknob. I twisted it, opened it a little bit. And then God grabbed the door and yanked it open. And boom. It was like instant connection. It was so awesome. Just the Holy Spirit had entered me straight away. It was the best experience I'd ever had in my life. And so I was like praising God, saying thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. But yeah, and then eventually he's like, okay, Liam, I want you to go and draw on the chalkboard. And I'm standing there like, God, you know I'm a really bad drawer. And he's like, yeah, I know, I still want you to go and draw on the chalkboard. So I'm like, okay. So I walk over, draw a little picture. I'm like, oh yeah, I'm happy with that. That's what God's put on my mind. And then he's like, okay, I want you to go to the communion section now and pray. And I'm like, oh, okay. So I sat down there and I was praying. And at that moment, there was a announcement for people to go out the back who want to speak in tongues. And I've always wanted to speak in tongues. Like, I've always thought that was so cool, but God just didn't put it on my mind. And after the night, I was quite surprised, but at that moment, I thought a little thought popped into my head. It was like, hey, God's plan is way better than yours. So I'm like, all right. So I went and wrote that down. Then I went back to the communion section. And I was sitting there praying and I realized, oh, God, I've wronged you in so many ways lately. I'm so sorry. Then another thought popped into my head saying, hey, forgiveness. He loves us no matter what we do. And so I'm like, oh, good. Go write that down again. And then I was just sitting there in my beanbag, just looking in awe of everything that had happened. I'm like, well, I'm so thankful, thank you. And then another thought popped into my head saying, hey, we should be more thankful. God's our Savior and provider. So I'm like, oh, cool, write that down as well. So I have those three things blue tacked to my bedhead. So I see them every day and remember them and remember this awesome night. And I've been trying to think of a way to tie them in all together. Like, it was kind of hard because they're three separate things. But I eventually figured, oh, that's what God wants me to improve in my life. He wants me to realize that his plan is way better than mine and that what I want for me isn't as good as what he wants for me. And he also wants me to be more thankful. I think we should all be more thankful for what we have. And also to forgive others, because I do a lot of bad and annoying things to people and they forgive me. You can ask my mum. And that I should forgive people when they do bad things to me. So, yeah, I just want to wrap it up by saying that the encounter night was just awesome. And for anyone here at youth who wasn't there, come along, definitely. And I also want to say that for anyone, if it's the encounter night at youth, if it's praise and worship at church, if it's just sitting on your bed at home, if you open your heart to the Lord and, like, commit fully to him, then he will change you. Thank you.
Good evening, everybody. My name is Steph, if you don't know, and I have been a leader at Frontline for 4 years now, 4 years. I normally stand over there behind the keyboard, and I'm much more comfortable over there than I am up here. So, little disclaimer, I tend to talk very loudly and very fast, so if you feel like I'm screaming at you, I'm really sorry, but I'm consciously telling myself to not yell. Okay, so a little bit about me and about how I grew up. So I had the incredible blessing of growing up in a Christian house. I was pretty much born in church. As long as I can remember, Sundays were church days, two services a day. And as I got older, Friday nights became youth nights. And that was always just a given. That's what my week was. And so I want to be very clear here. I don't for a second wish that that had been any different. And I'm so thankful that I grew up in that environment. But I think anyone else who had a similar experience to me would kind of agree. Well, I hope you do, because otherwise this is awkward. that being raised in a Christian house with Christian parents brings with it a different set of challenges than people who come to Christ later on in life. And that's not saying that people who come to Christ later don't have challenges. It's just that they're different. So growing up, I was always told that Jesus loves me and he's my saviour and he died for my sins and I get to live forever with him. Which, when you're like 8 years old, that sounds awesome. It's like, yes, Jesus loves me and, you know, I'm going to live forever and can like walk through walls and stuff when I die and it's going to be great. But as I grew up, I began to question this. Not the truth of it. I never doubted that Jesus loved me and that he died for me, but rather the purpose of it was what started to make me think a little bit. So I obviously had been exposed to God my whole life. I'd been to church. I had God at home. I'm sure, you know, Mum is the sort of person who would like pray while she was pregnant with me. And so I probably had God then as well. And I went to Oxley, which is obviously a Christian school from the time I was 3 years old right through to year 12. So I lived a very sheltered life. And so eventually I began to wonder, so what exactly has God saved me from again? Because, you know, my life, I don't have that many struggles in my life. I don't really need to be saved from anything because, you know, I don't smoke, I don't drink, I don't do drugs, I don't go out partying on the weekends. I'm not a bad person. So what have I been saved from? And so I was coming to a point in my life where I needed to, a place in my walk with God where I needed to take ownership of that and where the faith of my parents wasn't going to be enough to sustain me and enough to get me through life. And so this had to become my faith. It had to be something that I took hold of. And so I had to encounter God for myself. And for the most part, these encounters and this stepping into my own journey and this becoming my own person in Christ took place on Friday nights at youth and on camps and when we used to go to Adelaide for conference. And that was why these nights are so awesome, because that's where you really, like as we heard from Liam and Tara, that's where they kind of experienced God. So Nick emailed me and was like, Steph, can you talk an encounter night? I was like, yeah, okay. I have no idea what I'm going to do. So when I was deciding about what to say, I wanted to choose a story from the Bible of an encounter with God, because I love stories. I love examples. They just help me get my head around things. And I very quickly realized when I was looking at stories, I was like, okay, I could do like Jacob, he like wrestled with God, or there was like a woman at the well and she met Jesus, and there were all these people. And I quickly realized that I didn't know who I was going to pick, because the Bible is essentially cover to cover, just one big story of ordinary people just encountering God in their everyday lives. And the thing that's awesome is in us reading about these stories, in us reading about these encounters, we are encountering God through that. And I reckon that's just mind-blowing how that works. That's really cool. But eventually I settled on the story of Samuel, which is going to be talking about tonight. So if you have a Bible or a phone or a whatever, so if you want to turn to 1 Samuel chapter 3. Sorry, there are no slides or anything because I'm not that tech savvy and I didn't think of it. Okay, so just starting at verse 1. It says, "The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, 'Here I am.' And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Again, the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel a third time, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling as at the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." And then basically what God says to Samuel is he tells him about how he's going to bring destruction on the house of Eli because his sons are into not good things. And then when we jump down to verse 19, it says, "The Lord was with Samuel as he grew up, and he let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba recognized that Samuel was attested as a prophet of the Lord. The Lord continued to appear at Shiloh, and there he revealed himself to Samuel through his word." And so out of that, I got 3 points because every good sermon has points. And so the first thing I saw in that is that encounter is where we know God personally. When I read this, verse 7 in that passage really jumped out at me. It says, "Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him." And in the message, it says, "This all happened before Samuel knew God for himself. It was before the revelation of God had been given to him personally." So Samuel was raised in church, like a lot of people here, and his mother, Hannah, who was an amazing woman of God, dedicated him back to the Lord when he was a very young child. So he definitely knew about God. He knew laws and customs and traditions. He knew how everything worked. But he didn't know God personally. He didn't have a relationship with God. And so it was on this night and in this encounter that everything Samuel knew and everything that he had heard about and was taught went from being head knowledge to being heart knowledge. It became stuff that he knew to be true for himself. It became his own experiences and his own encounter. And so when we encounter God, when we step into those moments, God, in my case, stops being the God of my parents or, you know, if you're in youth, the God that you hear the leaders talk about, the God of our friends, the God of the Israelites like thousands of years ago. In encounter, that's when he became my God. He stopped being a God I'd heard about and became one that I knew personally and one that I had experienced and felt and one who I was in relationship with. In Philippians, Paul says that everything he once had, he now counts it all as loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing God and just being in relationship with God. And that's what it is. It's surpassing greatness. It's just incredible to think that God, who created everything, actually wants to know us and wants to encounter us. That's so cool. Point two, encounter is individual. So when we read that, God called Samuel by name. When someone calls your name, that's generally a sign they want to talk to you or engage with you, punch you in the face. They want to engage with you in some way. God called Samuel. He didn't call Eli. He didn't say, "Samuel, can you please go and get Eli so I can tell him I'm going to destroy his household?" God was there to talk to Samuel and Samuel only. He spoke to Samuel in a way that would get his attention. And when we enter into an encounter with God, God is there for you and he'll speak to you in a way that you understand. So when I first started coming to youth, back when I was like 12, one thing that stood out to me was this concept of altar calls, because we didn't have them down in kids' church and I wasn't up in grown-up church to actually see them. So when I came to youth, someone would preach and then they would say, "If you want us to pray for you, come down the front." So people would go up the front and they'd get prayed for and then they'd start crying and then they'd go back to their seat and they'd have like this look of just empowerment and just like God. And so for a long time, I thought that that's what encountering God is. So I would go up to the front as a little 12-year-old, go for altar calls because I was like, that's where God is. God is at the front. And then I would go back to my seat. I would be dry-eyed. I didn't feel any different. And so I was like, okay, I guess encountering God is for everyone else. It's not for me. But the thing is, encounter is not about how you feel. Encounter doesn't have to be you sobbing and falling weak at the knees. And slowly I began to realize that I personally don't experience God that way. That's not how I encounter God. For me, personally, where I am in my life and in my journey with God now, it's through music and specifically through playing the piano. Some of my most intimate and some of my strongest encounters and experience of God have been just me at home by myself, sitting at the piano playing. And it's been moments that I can't even put into words how incredible they've been. And I'm sure for many of you, what I just described makes no sense whatsoever, because God won't meet you where I'm at. And he's not going to meet you where your friends are at. And he's not going to meet you where the people up the front for the altar call are at. He's going to meet you and encounter you where you're at. God will call your name. And so we need to seek our own encounters with God. We shouldn't be seeking the encounter that we see other people get. We should be seeking our own ones and chasing after that. Which brings me to my final point. We need to continually chase encounters. We need to continually do it. Samuel didn't have to enter into the encounter with God. Initially, he didn't even realize that that's what it was. He thought it was Eli calling him. And once Samuel had that realization that it was actually God talking to him, he didn't roll over and go back to sleep because it was the middle of the night and he'd been woken up. He didn't run away and hide because he's like, oh my goodness, God's in my bedroom. He didn't freeze up. And he didn't start rattling off requests like, okay, God, I want you to do this and this and this. He simply said, speak, for your servant is listening. He went after it. He knew it was God and he responded. He chased it and he went into it. Samuel was open to what God wanted to say to him. Often when we go to God, we say, okay, God, so this is the situation. This is what I want fixed, and this is how I want you to fix it, and this is the time frame in which I want it done. And you know what? If you do all of this exactly as I just laid out to you, then you are awesome. If not, then God, what are you doing? Like, I'm praying and nothing's happening. And so we want encounter to be on our terms and in our way so often. That's just how we approach it. But the thing is, Samuel didn't dictate the terms of the encounter. He saw what God had for him. He said, speak, I'm listening. And if we flip over to Philippians chapter 3, verse 12 to 14, it says in the Message version, I'm not saying that I have all this together, that I have it made, but I'm well on my way, reaching out for Christ who has so wondrously reached out for me. Friends, don't get me wrong. By no means do I count myself an expert in all of this, but I've got my eye on the goal, where God is beckoning us onward to Jesus. I'm off and running, and I'm not turning back. Encounter is where God is. And I love the Message version that I just read, how it says how he so wondrously reaches out for us. Because it's there in encounter that we call upon the name of the Lord. And it's in that moment that we're challenged and we're refined into the person that God wants us to be. Because we were created to be like Christ. And so it's in these encounter, it's when we seek God and it's in that experience and in that encounter that we are piece by piece transformed into the likeness of God. And you know what? Like Paul said, we don't have it all together. We're human. We're broken people. But in encounter, that's where we experience God. And how can we be imitators of Christ if we don't know Christ, if we don't know what that is? And so we need to continually seek that. So we each have in our walk with God moments that are very defined and very poignant, but these moments aren't fully realized if they stay moments. Encounter moments should equip us to encounter God in the everyday and in the mundane and in the little things, in the routines. Samuel chased that first encounter with God. He didn't have to. It wouldn't have been comfortable or easy to be woken up in the middle of the night and be like, okay, go tell that person you look up to that his household is going to be destroyed. That sounds like fun. That wouldn't have been a comfortable encounter. And often we want our encounters to be comfortable and fluffy and feel good and to just be all good. But the thing is, Samuel just said, speak. That's all he said. And if the worship team wants to come up. it goes on in the story of Samuel to say that God was with Samuel. God continued to reveal himself to Samuel because he didn't have to respond initially, but he did. And because he sought that encounter, because he went after that, God continued to reveal himself to Samuel. And people recognized the Spirit of God on him. They recognized that he was a prophet of God because he spent time seeking God. He didn't let that first encounter stay just an encounter moment. He made it his lifestyle. He had a lifestyle of seeking God and encountering God and going after what it was that God had for him. And so I'm just going to pray and then we're going to worship God. And so we can just have an opportunity to have encounters with God, to seek him and to go after his presence. Father God, I just thank you so much that you look at us and that you call us and you call us into encountering you, Lord God, that you want us to draw near to you, God. I just thank you for the wonderful opportunities that we have here just to freely go after you, God, and that nothing is too small, that we matter to you, Lord God, and that as we seek encounter right now, Lord, that you would just open our hearts to what you want to say to us, God, that we wouldn't come into this time of worship, God, with our own agendas, but that we would just be open to what you have to say for us, God. I just thank you for who you are and that you love us so much, Lord God.